And
when
maybe
did Richard Pryor die? Was that 2005?
I don't even know if he's
2006?
Dead.
2006? No, he's dead.
If he's dead, it was pretty recent then, yeah.
It was like 2006, I think.
I think he
And
had.
A buddy of mine who's, you know, older than the general of the median age at HSU brought it up in class one day, or somebody else brought it up, and a bunch
brought
of
up Richard
students
Pryor?
Brought up, yeah, because it was in the paper that he died.
Oh.
And a bunch of people didn't know who the fuck he was.
You're just in your pervert 101 human sexuality class, and he goes, like, hey, Richard
no,
Pryor died.
At that time, I think he was a CSI major.
Oh,
or,
okay.
I mean, CIS, excuse me.
Computer Information Sciences?
Yeah. He eventually got his degree in graphic design, actually graduated.
Pretty slick.
Yeah, pretty slick.
But
it's just, to me, that's absolutely fucking bizarre. It's like, how can you be at least 18, let's say, and not know who the fuck Richard Pryor is?
Well, no, I can see that, because Richard Pryor was almost past my time. I know that, like, all of his popular movies and stuff with Gene Wilder, that most of those came out before
well,
I was the kind of
they
kind of
know. I mean, it's
like
you'd think with all the inspiration.
When
like,
did he,
Chappelle,
the Richard Pryor stop doing movies? I think his last movie that he, one of the last, like, comedy Richard Pryor type movies was, like, you know, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, you know?
No, I think it was Harlem Nights.
Maybe, but that was like a different kind of, that was a more serious kind of weird, it wasn't the kind of
it
like,
was a weird movie.
Wasn't like a comedy.
It was a comedy.
Overtly though, it like had,
it had,
a lot of stylism and it was a,
playing a scumbag.
It was a period movie and everything else. It was,
yeah,
it was a little more, it was a little more elevated.
Club didn't do.
Yeah, it was a little more elevated, I guess. And
wasn't that Francis Ford Coppola too?
I don't, what, Cotton Club?
Mm-hmm.
That might have been Altman.
Oh, okay.
But, and then Richard Pryor pretty much fell off the map. He didn't do anything in the
90s. Well, he got really ill.
Yeah, I know he did, and he was in Lost Highway.
But he was doing, he did all that stand-up, it's like.
Yeah, but that's old. I mean, you know, two generations ago could say the same shit about, like, Lenny Bruce or something. I mean, I don't know. Or Bob Newhart.
I know all those people, too. It's like.
Well, and I do too, but
I mean, shit,
that's because
I didn't Dustin Hoffman even do a fucking movie as Lenny Bruce?
I'm
pretty sure he did.
He might have.
It was an old movie though, too.
Yeah, exactly. See,
but Lenny Bruce wasn't fucking funny. Richard Pryor was funny.
Time. Same with Eddie Murphy's bits. I mean, you watch a lot of them now, and some of them come off pretty.
I watched Delirious. I watched Raw, and it wasn't as funny as I thought it could have been. But I've heard Delirious was the first special he did, and it was better.
Is that the one where he's got the purple leather suit?
I think Delirious might be purple and Raw was red.
Oh, okay.
And Raw was the later one. But I mean, it. Like I said, these people inspired all the more popular, well, actually, shit, even they're kind of going by the wayside now.
What do you mean? Like Dave Chappelle and stuff?
Yeah.
You're talking about
inspiration of black comedy.
A black comedy. Well, I mean, comedy's comedy. I'm pretty generic about it. I mean, I'm sort of an expert when it comes
Joe
to
Piscopo,
comedians.
Did he inspire you?
Joe Piscopo. I mean, basically, you've got Bill Cosby as another black comedian. Chris,
completely different thing though.
Different thing, sure. But then you've got like Chris Rock, who's you know, good comedians are going to look at sources of comedy from all angles and all types and all sources because they understand. I mean, to get up on stage and do something like that. It's such a, once you've proven yourself to other people, then there's an inherent respect amongst comedians. And you might understand that you do something a little different than what somebody else does. Maybe you're more of a pop culture referential thing that skews to the, you know, the suburban,
well, you know, cool
middle class, and maybe you're the, you know, not, but.
I actually got to see Bill Cosby, and that was really cool.
No, let's see, if we charted Eddie Murphy's career. I mean, he had a handful.
He started out so young.
He did, and so that's why he's been able to do as much. And I wouldn't say he's
well,
been.
Well, Bill Cosby goes way back, so it's Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
You can find Richard Pryor on, like, Ed Sullivan, like, back in the early 60s. It's a trip.
It's not surprising.
A friend of mine showed some of that shit to me, and he sounded like Bill Cosby. And I heard he was doing something like that one day, and he just was like, I can't do this anymore, and dropped the mic and walked off the stage. 6 months later, he shows up with
all
like
edgy
a goatee,
and stuff, yeah.
All edgy at like the Comedy Store, And that's what really started he and Carlin.
Same with Carlin. Yeah, Carlin was the same way, where he was all clean cut and regular comedian, and then just decided to grow a ponytail and piss off the squares.
Right, which, you know, you can look back to, like, Lenny Bruce as being a big start of that, and then the Black Side's Red Fox. But the history of comedy in this country, I kind of feel like it's stagnated here or there. But,
well, no. I mean, the thing is that you had a huge inundation in the 90s where it became like a fad. Well,
there's so much as homage.
What became like a fad to be comedians, and so you had all the guys with the Bill Maher's and all those douchebags with their mullets and their pastel sport coats with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows. You have fucking Richard Lewis. You can't just say Richard Lewis because there's not enough angst. There's not enough. That's not enough.
Well, he always tension. Whenever I see him, he always looks like strung out.
Yeah, because he was pretty much always strung out for a while, and now he's just sort of recovering strung out. So basically, that means
like still the Dice Man, out.
Yeah,
who just got fat.
Dice Man. I mean, I don't know. You do what you do. You make people laugh. You make people laugh. I think the best comedians and the best comedy is not too super
like the dude from Full House.
No, it's like Chappelle and stuff. Like Chappelle had his bits.
Sketch comedy is awesome when it's done right.
Well, Chappelle had his bits where, like, you know, he was clearly catering to a certain demographic or whatnot.
And not all of it was funny, but the shit that was funny was really funny.
Well, and it was funny because it was sort of more universal. It was like the thematic material.
Whenever he did fucking Samuel Jackson, I was just.
He only did that once.
No, he did that like a couple of times.
Which is with the yelling.
Well, he's doing the yelling. Who was it? I think it was Dennis Lurie that was talking about anybody that's got talent, so it's the first to go. And no talent assholes just keep on. I think he's talking about Motley Crue. It's like you could lock him in a room with, like, you know, barrels of fucking crack, and they'd come out just, you know, a little strung up and, like, go back to rehab. And
meanwhile, Jimi Hendrix drinks a bottle of wine and dies in the gutter.
Yeah, pretty much. It was.
And he's like, Jimmy and Janice and James.
A lot of times I butt heads with his logic a little bit, but there was some truth to that.
No, there's that whole tortured genius thing. I think the thing is, and like Chappelle's the most recent proof of this, is that you gotta just fucking calm down. Calm down, realize that what you're doing is not brain surgery.
It's not that.
It's not that big a deal.
It's not that, it's that.
No, because I've seen interviews with Hendrix when he was on Dick Cavett and stuff.
Oh, I'm not talking about Hendrix. Really, I'm talking about Chappelle.
And wigged out.
I can understand what was the last contract he had? Wasn't it like $50 million?
It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. And the more and more money, Kevin Smith talks about this a lot. The more and more money you get, the less control you have.
Yeah, over a lot of things that are business related. But, you know, he already...
It's kind of shitty, but I can't blame him for just wanting to bow out. And a lot of times, that's the way to go.
It then. I mean, you know, it's lesson learned. And I just hope that he gets over himself enough to go back to being a comedian and, like, writing a movie or doing whatever and, you know, having fun with it because he's a funny guy.
He is funny.
And so that's what I mean is that these artists that go through, some of them go through these periods of anxiety and they die.
But he was also very controversial. And I'm sure that got really old, too. I wouldn't be surprised if he was getting death threats and shit. I really wouldn't.
Chappelle?
As bizarre as that sounds.
Who knows? That it's irrelevant. Really, it's just, you know, so if you do survive, you become like Bob Dylan. So what? His last album was still pretty good.
Yeah, boy just can't sing, but he writes good music.
Well, I mean, you know, it's whatever. The point is, it's like, You keep living your life to live your life and to do things cool that are cool. And if people like it, then they like it. And you know what? Like, Eddie Murphy is perfect. He was young. He did SNL. He was great. He had one movie that bombed that neither of us remember.
No, he had a couple. He had.
No. Let me. Three. Yeah. And he did the Beverly Hills Cop thing. And then he was super popular in the 80s. And he did Coming to America. He did the 48 Hours. He did the Golden Child and Trading Places.
Golden Child didn't do so well.
But it's still like a cult classic thing now. And it's not a bad movie. I enjoy it. I probably
Didn't it have Charlie Murphy?
It might have.
I think it had Charlie Murphy.
And it had had a couple of weird people that are kind of cool in it.
I love Charlie Murphy.
You know, and then Eddie Murphy kind of faded for a while, and then he did the Nutty Professor remakes, which were really popular, and he did Daddy Daycare, and he's done a handful, yeah, not with me either, but I mean, you know, and so, you know, it's nice, you know, people keep doing their stuff, like, you know, with comedians and with all that stuff, and that's what you like to see. So I think everyone just needs to calm down when they get that. I mean, the lesson there is, like, I don't know, I heard that Beck took, you know, the musician Beck, when he first was coming up, he took, like, the record deal that gave him the least amount of money but allowed him the most control. And that's, you know, and that worked out.
That's a smart plan that if worked you want out, to make lots of money.
That worked out pretty well for him, didn't it?
Yeah. You know? And then you don't have to go through all that lawsuit bullshit later trying to sue back all your rights.
That's right. You get the most control and you figure out what you're going to do with your stuff.
But, you know, that was probably the funniest thing when I watched this. It was this long. It's like a 6-hour fucking documentary about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh my God. I couldn't sit through, like, a 6-minute documentary about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Well, I broke it up. It was fascinating to me because...
What's 6 hours about... Well, what's so great about fucking Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
Tom Petty
awesome. Did they talk about, like, Tom Petty was born, derp-de-der,
in
high school, derp-de-der, and then...
He was born in Florida.
They couldn't make a 6-hour documentary about Florida.